السلام عليكم يا شيخ.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
You can hear me يا عبد الرحمن.
نعم يا شيخ.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، Our book on these days is Al-Kaba'ir. The book is also called Kitab Al-Kaba'ir by Al-Imam Al-Zahabi Rahimahullah Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ahmad. Al-Imam Al-Zahabi combines between the two most popular names of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. He is Muhammad ibn Ahmad Abu Abdullah Al-Zahabi Rahimahullah. He has compiled this book, Kitab al-Kaba'ir, depending on three verses of the Quran. And he made those three verses from the Muqaddimah of his book, Rahimahullah. He gave those three verses and the lessons from those verses. We took 7 points from them in the Muqaddimah of this book that he wrote by himself, Rahimahullah. The first verse is that verse in Surah An-Nisa. Allah said, إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَنُدْخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا. He said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ. If you abstain from al-kaba'ir, if you abstain from the major sins, if you abstain from kaba'ir ma tunhauna anhu, yani ma tunhauna anhu, those things that you are prohibited from, we are prohibited from the human beings. Allah said, in tajtanibu, if you people abstain from kaba'ir ma tunhauna anhu, those ones that are from the kaba'ir, amongst the things that you have been prohibited from, he said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nukaffir ankum sayyatikum wa nudkhilkum mudkhalan karima. Nukaffir ankum sayyatikum. We will make atonement for you regarding sayyat, your smaller sins, your iniquities. That is the first advantage of abstaining from al-kaba'ir. Then he said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa nudkhilkum mudkhalan karima. Then we will make you enter a place of honor in a manner of honor. This is the first verse regarding the entirety of this book. This book occurs in over 300 pages. And it is based on three verses of the Quran and one hadith, perhaps. So that's what we want to pick from the very beginning. We have discussed all of these. In fact, we have discussed Al-Kabira to Al-Thalitha, up to Al-Thalitha and Al-Rabi'ah. We should be starting from Al-Kabiratul Khamisatu today, bi-Iznillah. But I want to bring us to class, bi-Iznillah. I want to go back to what we have done from this book as a way of revising a book that we last studied about 5 or 6 weeks ago. May Allah make us understand that than better than we try to explain. The first verse upon which this book is built is this verse in Surah An-Nisa. In tajtanibu kaba'ira ma tunhaun. If you abstain from those things that are kaba'ir, amongst the things that I have prohibited you from doing, Allah said, nukaffir ankum sayi'atikum. I will forgive you your smaller sins. The sins that are relatively smaller than those ones, I will forgive you. وَنُدْخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا. And I will make you enter Al-Jannah, the place of honor, in a manner of honor. This is the first verse. The second verse upon which the entirety of this book is based on is that verse in Surah Ash-Shura, where Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ. الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ. Those who abstain from كبائر الْإِثْمِ, those ones that are كبائر, from the sins. Sins have كبائر. They abstain from it. And these كبائر, وَالْفَوَاحِشِ, they are فواحش. The فواحش is the plural of that word, فاحشة. So the كبائر, every kabira is fahisha. Every kabira is fahisha. Every major sin is obscene and indecent. Every kabira amongst the kabair is what? Fahishatun min al fawahish. So here in this verse, the kabair were called fawahish. So Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرُ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ. Those who abstain from the major sins, al-kabair, these major sins, they are also what? Fawahish. وَإِذَا مَا غَضِبُوا هُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ. And when anyone annoys them, يَغْفِرُونَ, they overlook for the one who annoys them from kabair. إِذَا مَا غَضِبُوا, when for whatever reason they become annoyed, someone makes them become annoyed, هُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ, they are those ones who easily they overlook and forgive. So this verse is the second verse upon which this book is built. We are coming on to the lessons. We took 7 lessons from them. The third verse occurs in Surah An-Najm, where Allah said, الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشَ إِلَّا اللَّمَمْ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ, those who abstain from the kabair of the sins, sins are kabair. Here he said, إِلَّا اللَّمَمْ. So in the first verse, he called them sayyi'at, the opposite or the second form of sins. You see, they repeatedly become called kabair. The worst forms of sins are what? Kabair. The other kinds of sins in the first verse, they were called sayyi'at. And here in this third verse, they are called what? Al-lamam. That is the name for the saghair. So we have kabair and what? Saghair. Kabair are always called kabair. They have other names in the books of hadith, like al-mubiqat, destructive sins. But the scholars say that the mubiqat are from the kabair, but the worst forms of kabair are called what? Mubiqat. Those sins that when you do them, they will destroy you. May Allah protect us from them. So kabair are from the sins. Likewise, sayyi'at, or what? Al-lamam, or what? Saghair. These are two forms of sins, al-kaba'ir and as-sagha'ir. Sagha'ir has other names, like what? As-sayyi'at, like what? Al-lamam. These are the names of sagha'ir. Those sins that are relatively lesser in their gravity, when you compare them to kaba'ir, they are those ones that are called what? Sagha'ir, or what? Al-lamam, or what? Sayyi'at. So these three verses, in the third one here in Surah An-Najm, Allah said, Inna rabbaka wasi'ul maghfira. And certainly your Lord, He is vast in His forgiveness. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now let's begin to take the seven lessons we took from this Muqaddimah. The first lesson is that sins are divided into two, Al-Kaba'ir and what? As-Sagha'ir, by this verse of the Quran. By these verses of the Quran that we have read, sins are either what? From Al-Kaba'ir or from As-Sagha'ir. And those Sagha'ir, they have other names, like what? Sayyi'at, or like what? Al-Lamam. So sins, the first point, sins are divided into two, Kaba'ir and what? As-Sagha'ir. The second major lesson from these three verses is that if we abstain from kaba'ir, we get takfiru az-zunubi. If we abstain from al-kaba'ir, why? Allah said, "In tajtanibu kaba'ira ma tunhaun, in tajtanibu kaba'ira ma tunhaun anhu, nukaffir ankum sayyi'atikum." If you abstain from the kaba'ir of the sins, nukaffir ankum. So the second major point is that abstinence from al-kaba'ir, it makes the individual earn takfiru az-zunubi. It makes the individual earn atonement for his sins. The first lesson is that sins are two forms, kaba'ir and sagha'ir. The second lesson is that if you abstain from kaba'ir, you get forgiven for your sagha'ir. The third point of benefit is that ijtinabul kaba'ir min asbab dukhul al-jannah, from the means of gaining entrance into al-jannah is avoiding kaba'ir. The third lesson in this muqaddimah is that you want to enter al-jannah, you must avoid al-kaba'ir. Who said so? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, "In tajtanibu kaba'ira ma tunhauna anhu." If you abstain from the kaba'ir, amongst those things that I have prohibited you, nukaffir ankum sayyi'atikum, I will forgive you your sagha'ir, wa nudkhilkum mudkhalan karima, and I will make you enter al-jannah honorably. Meaning that if you abstain from kaba'ir, you will gain al-jannah. Somebody can come and ask, hey, why are we learning kaba'ir? Oh, we are learning those things that when we abstain from them, Allah will forgive us our minor sins and admit us into al-jannah. It's like saying, oh, just tell me all I need to do not to get into Jahannam. Tell me those sins, if I commit them, that will not make me enter al-jannah. If I commit them, I will not enter al-jannah. Or if I don't commit them and I abstain from them, as this verse says, Iznillah, I have hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will not throw me into the fire. What are those sins that I need to abstain from? Allah said, In tajtanibu kaba'ir ma tunhaun, if you abstain from kaba'ir. So the third lesson here is that ijtinabul kaba'ir, if you abstain, our abstinence from al-kaba'ir, min asbab dukhul al-jannah, is from the means of gaining entrance into al-jannah. The fourth major lesson from these three verses that we read is that inna rabbaka wasi'ul maghfira, as serious, as grievous, as dangerous, as destructive as the kaba'ir could be, inna rabbaka wasi'ul maghfira, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one that His forgiveness is vast. His forgiveness is wide. His forgiveness is expanse. Wasi'ul maghfira. Allah forgives so vastly, so widely. Allah is wasi' al-maghfira. So don't say, oh, they said al-kaba'ir are destructive. They said kaba'ir are grievous. May Allah protect us. You fall into one and you despair. La, don't despair that you fell into kaba'ir. All that it requires of you is to make a tawbah out of it. Why? Inna rabbaka wasi'ul maghfira. This is the fourth major lesson we learn regarding these issues. Now, there is a fifth and a sixth and a seventh lesson. The fifth lesson comes from a hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, As-salawatu al-khamsi wal-jum'atu As-salawatu al-khamsu wal-jum'atu ila al-jum'ati kaffaratun lima baynahunna ma lam tughsha al-kabair. As-salawatu al-khams, the five daily salah that we observe, Salatul Fajr, Salatul Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, wal Jum'atu ila al Jum'ati, and the salah that we observe on the days of Jum'ah, Salatul Jum'ah, kaffaratun lima baynahunna. One Salatul Fajr before Salatul Dhuhr. Allah makes it a means of forgiveness for you between Salatul Dhuhr to Salatul Asri. Allah makes Asri a means of forgiveness for our sins in between the two, between Salatul Maghrib and the last Salatul Asr. Salatul Maghrib becomes a means of forgiveness for the sins from after Salatul Asr to Salatul Maghrib. Likewise, Salatul Isha, it becomes a means of forgiveness for the sins we commit in between. Likewise, Salatul Fajr, it becomes a means of forgiveness from Allah for the sins that come in between the two. Ma lam tughshal kabair. As long as the individual does not commit kabair. Ah, so if I don't commit kabair between Zuhr, any kabira min al kabair, between Zuhr and Asr, all my sins will be forgiven. Just let's watch it. Between Zuhr and Asr today, between Salatul Jummah and Salatul Asr today, you did not commit any of the kabair. Allah will forgive you all the sins. Between Asr and Maghrib today, no kabira min al kabair. All your sins will be forgiven. Ikhwa. This makes us understand that one of the major means of gaining forgiveness for Sagair is what? Abstinence from Al-Kabair. So it still goes back to that verse. In tajtanibu kabaira ma tunhauna anhu nukaffir anhu aw nukaffir ankum sayyi'atikum. In tajtanibu kabaira ma tunhauna anhu nukaffir ankum sayyi'atikum. It's a big, big promise. If you avoid kabair, I will forgive you your sagair. So if you observe between Zuhr and Asr, no kabira min al-kabair, all your sins in between the two be forgiven. The next thing that will come as the sixth lesson is that if kabair are so important, and they are very important, three verses, Allah clearly mentioned kabair in each of them. In tajtanibu kabair, in tajtanibu kabair, and in many other ahadith. So the question that will come to a very active, God-fearing mind is, please tell me those kabair. Why? So that I know them. If I avoid them, I know that Allah will forgive me my sagair and he will get me al-jannah. I need to now know those kabair. That is the essence of the entire book that Al-Imam al-Zahabi went on to compile to bring out for us those things that are kabair. Why? لِنَعْرِفَهَا وَنَجْتَنِبَهَا. So that we can know them and abstain from them. The scholars usually say, rahimahumullah, they say, كَيْفَ يَتَّقِي مَنْ لَا يَدْرِي مَا يَتَّقِي. How will a person abstain from something he does not know what he needs to abstain from? You don't know what you need to abstain from. How do you abstain from it? So one way to know what al-kaba'ir are. Since we now know the value of abstinence from al-kaba'ir, then it requires that we should know what al-kaba'ir. That is the reason why Imam al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah, he went on to compile this book on al-kaba'ir. After him and before him, many scholars compiled, rahimahumullah, to make us understand these are those things. Allah does not want you to do this one. If you leave it, He will give you al-jannah. If you leave this one, you get al-jannah. If you leave this one, you get al-jannah. You will also get forgiveness for saghair. So you see, it really, really deserves that we know what kabair are. The sixth point we quickly discussed at the beginning of our lessons in this book, Kitab al-Kabair, is how then do we identify? Al-Dhahabi has compiled them for us. So what are the indices to know this thing is kabira min al-kabair? This thing is kabira min al-kabair. Is it because they all occur in one hadith or two or three hadith and they were mentioned as kabair? Or that there are things that when you see this thing in a hadith, you know that that thing that that hadith is connected to is kabira min al-kabair. So the ulama say, هل يعرف الكبائر بالعد أو الحد? Is kabair known by ad, by a particular number? Like that hadith the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about mubiqat. He said, ijtanibu as-sab'a al-mubiqat, avoid seven destructive sins. Does it mean that all the kabair are just seven? Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, he said, these are kabair. They are up to 70, more than being seven. So is it just by a number in a hadith that we know them, or by some elements, some indices, some indicators? This thing indicates that this thing is kabira min al-kabair. This thing indicates that kabira min al-kabair. And the view of the large majority of the scholars is that it is not known by a particular number. It is known by some indices. Some things make us know kabair. Like what? Al-Imam al-Dhahabi said, rahimahullah, وَالَّذِي يَتَّجِهُ وَيَكُومُ عَلَيْهِ الدَّلِيلِ. What is stronger, what is weightier, وَيَكُومُ عَلَيْهِ الدَّلِيلِ, that also has evidences from the Qur'an and the Sunnah, is that أَنَّ مَنْ اِرْتَكَبَ حُوبًا مِنْ هَذِهِ الْعَظَيْمِ, that when anybody who commits any one of these things, from these great sins, Mimma fihi haddun fi dunya. So these are the things with which we know kabair now. The first one, fihi haddun fi dunya. It has inner. If an adult who has married and has proper conjugal relation in marriage with his wife or her husband, if he now commits intercourse with a woman or a man, as the case may be, that is not his wife or her husband, that is adultery. It has a rajmu as the had. That because it has a rajmu as the had, it shows that zina is what? Kabira min al-kabair. Is this care? Qal qatl. Like Al-Imam al-Dhahabi said, rahimahullah, such as killing a soul, it has had. If you kill a soul, wa katabna alayhim fiha, and nafsa bin nafs, what Allah has written, even from past, amongst those who had gone past, amongst the messengers of Allah, is that anyone who commits zina or anyone who kills somebody, he should be killed in return. Kalkotub. So that killing has had is evidence that killing is from what? Kabair. Is this clear? Was zina. Likewise, zina, as we gave in that example, was sariqa. Likewise, while stealing, Allah said, "As-sariku was-sariqatu faqta'u aydiyahuma." As-sariku, the male thief, was-sariqatu, the female thief, faqta'u, cut off their hands, aydiyahuma, the hand of each of them. Allah said, "Jaza'an bima kasaba nakala min Allah." So this is the legal punishment for as-sariqa. So if a sin has a legal punishment, what does that mean? It means that that sin is kabira min al-kabair. It's a major sin. أو جاء فيه وعيد في الآخرة من عذاب وغضب وتهديد. Or another way to know kabair جَاءَ فِيهِ وَعِيدٌ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. There is a threat regarding that thing on the day of Qiyamah. For example, it can say that salasun aw salasatun la yukallimuhum Allahu yawm al-qiyamah. Three groups of people, Allah will not speak with them on the day of Qiyamah. Wala yuzakkihim. Allah will not purify them on the day of Qiyamah. Walahum adhabun alim. They were going to face a severe punishment on the day of Qiyamah. Painful adhabun alim. A painful punishment on the day of Qiyamah. And the first person he will mention is who? Man jarra thawbahu khuyala. The one who makes his lower garments to draw out of pride on the ground. Out of pride. You see, this has wa'idun fil akhirah. It has a negative repercussion. It has a promise of punishment on the day of Qiyamah. Min adhabin. Whether that promise of punishment is that he will be punished like this, or ghadabin, or that Allah will be angry with him, what tahdid, or that he's being warned that this kind of a thing is bad. So if you have a sin carrying a promise of punishment on the day of Qiyamah, what does that mean? That is kabira min al-kabair. Aulu ina failu. Or that the one who does it was cursed. Ala lisani nabiyina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Upon the tongue of our messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Dhahabi said, fa innahu kabiratun wa labud. That kind of a sin is kabira. Like the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La'anallahu rashi wal murtashi. The one who takes the bribe, and the one who gives the bribe, Rashi, wal murtashi, and the one who was giving the bribe, the curse of Allah be upon them. What does that mean? Bribery is from Tabair. Why? It has a curse of Allah from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attached to it. I hope that this is clear. There are others. For example, Maja afihi nafyul iman. A sin about which nafyul iman was mentioned. Like he said, sibabul muslim fusuk wa qitaluhu kufrun. You see, this nafyul iman. Or la imana liman la amana talahu. It means not to have amana, khiyana, is kabira min al-kabair. Why? There is nafyul iman connected to that sin. Aw ma summiya kabiratan. Or something that was clearly mentioned as kabira. Or mubiqa, or fahisha, or that it is min amali shaitan, like alcohol and gambling. When Allah mentioned it in the Quran, he said it is what? Min amali shaitan, and the likes of that. So we mentioned most of these in this book, bi'ithnillah. How do we know kabair? These are the reasons, these are the things you look at in something and say, this thing is from al-kabair. We had discussed all of these. And I'm just trying to bring us to class. This is the sixth thing we discussed about Al-Kabair. The seventh thing we discussed about Al-Kabair is that Ba'dul Kabair Akbaru min Ba'd. Some Kabair are worse than others. Not all the Kabair are upon the same level. Why? The Prophet Muhammad made us to know in that hadith, when he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ala unabbi'ukum bi akbaril kabair. Should I not tell you about akbarul kabair? The most grievous amongst the kabair. Akbarul kabair. So that means some amongst the kabair are akbar. They are worse than others amongst the kabair. I hope that this is clear. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made us understand that some of the kaba'ir are worse than others. For example, ash-shirku billah is worse from amongst the kaba'ir. Others around that are the mubiqat. Those sins, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, he called mubiqat. When he said, ijtanibu as-sab al-mubiqat, avoid those seven destructive sins. And he mentioned them. So they are the ones that follow like that. There's hearing it, there's okokul walidem, may Allah protect us from all of these things. The seventh point is that ba'dul kaba'ir akbaru min ba'd. Not all the kaba'ir are worse at the same degree. Some are very serious and grievous than others. Like arriba aklu riba. And this is one kabira min al kaba'ir that many people take lightly today. Working in riba-based institutions. It may be a bank, it may be any other institution. That the work on it is based on riba aklu riba. Riba is one of the worst of the sins that anybody can commit. Some of the scholars say that it is worse than zina, because there's hadith reported by Al-Imam al-Bazzar, and Al-Imam al-Mundhiri mentioned it in his book, At-Targhib wa Tarhib, when he was making Tarhib regarding riba. He said, the Prophet said in that hadith, alayhi salatu wasalam, and Al-Imam al-Albani grades that hadith as Hasan. He said, dirhamu min riba. One dirham, one silver coin from riba. It's as if a man brings out his mother in the public and makes zina with her in public. How is that? 30 times one dirham from riba. It's as if the individual brings out his mother. This is a serious offense with your mother. Then zina. Then 30 times. It means it is worse than ukukul walidin. To do that with the mother is from ukuk, is it not? And then 30 times. And then in the public. And then zina. So it means one dirham of riba makes us understand that it's the worst, grievous thing for anybody to engage in riba. And it means that the riba is worse in this case than all other sins that are mentioned in that illustration that was given to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make us understand the gravity of riba. So this ikhwa makes us understand that ba'dul kaba'ir, some of the kaba'ir are worse than others. So not all the kaba'ir are on the same level. 7 points we took from the muqaddimah. The first thing is that al-kaba'ir and as-sagha'ir are the two divisions of sins. All sins, all asam. All what we have been prohibited from, they are divided into two. They are either what kabair or what sagair. The second point, takfiru dhunub, itark al kabair. We get takfiru dhunub, we get our sins atoned for. Bismillah, itark al kabair. When we abandon kabair, our sagair will be forgiven. The third one, ijtinabul kaba'ir min asbab dukhul al-jannah. If you avoid kaba'ir, Allah makes it a means of entering al-jannah for you. The fourth point, no matter how these things are, inna rabbaka wasi'ul maghfirah. As evil as we have described riba, inna rabbaka wasi'ul maghfirah. Allah's forgiveness is vast. If you make tawbah, you repent, you abstain from this evil, Allah will forgive you your sins. The fifth point we mentioned is that we really have to avoid al-kaba'ir for our sagha'ir to be forgiven. The sixth point is that kaba'ir are known with indices. There are things that makes us recognize kaba'ir. Indices, points, indicators, we mentioned them. Now when we see them, we say this thing is kabira min al-kaba'ir. One of them is that it will have ma fihi hadun fi dunya, something that includes had, a legal punishment in this dunya. That it has legal punishment is evidence that it is from kabair, or that it has a warning, severe punishment on the day of Qiyamah, or that Allah will be angry with such persons. It's a show that that thing is kabira min al kabair, or that fire was promised for anybody who does it. Like the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, in hadith of Abu Huraira, he said, ma asfala min al-izari min al-kaabain fi nar. What goes on the ground below the Kaab, below our ankles, from our garments, will be burnt in the fire. Oh, it shows that drawing our garments below our ankle is kabiratun min al kabair. Why? It is connected to fire, Jahannam. Things like this. Other indicators that we mentioned. The seventh thing we mentioned is that badul kabair akbaru min bad. Some of the kabair are worse than others. Then we came, Al Imam al Zahabi, rahimahullah, now began to mention those kabair to us one after the other. So that what? We'll be able to obey that verse. In tajtanibu kabair ma tunhauna anhu, nukaffir ankum sayyi'atikum. If you abstain from those things that are kabair, amongst the things that we have prohibited for you, nukaffir ankum sayyi'atikum. Don't worry, those your sagair, I will forgive you. Wa nudkhilkum mudkhalan karima, and I will enter you into al-jannah. So hear this, O ikhwa. One major thing that can prevent a person from al-jannah is getting involved in al-kabair. It's a major problem and get the individual into jahannam. May Allah protect us. Not abstaining from kabair is very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. Very dangerous. It can get an individual into jahannam on the day of Qiyam. May Allah protect us from the fire of jahannam. So someone asks us, why are we busy with kabair? We don't want to enter the fire of Allah. We want to know those things that when we do them, our Lord is displeased. And by them, he can throw us into Jahannam. So we want to learn al-kabair so that we can abstain from al-kabair. Because the scholars would always say that, Kaifa yattaqi man la yadri ma yattaqi. How would a person abstain when he does not know what to abstain from? So the fourth is amongst the kabair, Ali. Imam al-Zahabi called, he says, Fal kabiratul ula. Therefore, Al kabiratul ula, the first and the most grievous amongst the kabair, is what? Ashirku billahi ta'ala. Joining partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He even explained it. He said, Wahuwa antaj'ala lillahi niddan wahuwa khalaqaka. Shirk is that you associate and join partners and equal need with Allah. You join a nadir, need something equal. You take something as an equal with Allah, while it was Allah who created you, not that thing. Those who worship Shango, was it Shango that created them? Those who worship Obatala, was it Obatala who created them? Those who worship Okebada, was it Okebada who created them? So if Okebada did not create them, why join Okebada as a partner with Allah in terms of worship? Why ask from Okebada? What you should be asking from Allah? Why ask from Okebada to give you long life when it was Allah who created your life in the first place? So do not join partners with Allah when you know that Allah hates it. So the worst of the sins, the worst of the kabair is shirk. The worst of the kabair is shirk. So wahuwa an taj'ala lillahi niddan wahuwa khalaqaka. It is taking an equal with Allah in the worship of Allah. Wahuwa khalaqaka. While it was Allah who created you. It was Allah who created you. So why direct worship to someone who did not create you? Afa man yakhluqu kaman la yakhluq. Is the one who created, who creates things. He brings things into existence. Like the one who cannot even be, who was even brought into existence, that cannot even create anything. So why do you divert worship from the one who created all things? You divert the worship to those things that you are created, to make them equals to Allah in terms of worshiping them when worship is only due to the one who created all things. وَتَعْبُدَ مَعَهُ غَيْرَهُ. You begin to worship other than Allah, together with Allah. مِنْ حَجَرٍ أَوْ بَشَرٍ. Whether that thing is a stone or a human being. أَوْ شَمْسٍ أَوْ قَمَرٍ. Whether that thing is a sun or a moon. أَوْ نَبِيٍ أَوْ شَيْخٍ. Or whether that thing is a prophet of Allah. Like some Christians who worship Isa alayhi salam. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُوا. Don't take an equal with Allah in worship when you know Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was created. He was born of a woman. His mother was created. His grandmother was created. His mother had a father. They were all known. So how does it become that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam becomes Allah? And that's why Allah will ask him on the day of Qiyamah, Ya Isa ibn Maryam, أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَهَيْنِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Are you the one who told the people to take you and your mother as gods, as things of worship, as the Catholics do? They worship Mary as if she's the mother of God. They actually say it with their mouths. So whether it is a sheikh or a human being, or jinniyin, some of the people worship the jinns. They take jinns as God. They worship them. They call them Eshu. They call them names. They direct worship to them. They kneel to them. They bow to them. They prostrate to them. They make requests from them. They beg them to give them children, to give them long life, to give them wealth, to give them protection. They do all of these things to these creatures that were themselves mere creatures of Allah. Our Malak. Some people think they even worship Malak, the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Malaika. So they can say, oh, we are worshiping Mikael. How can you worship Mikael? When Mikael himself is a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ghayri dhalik. And things like that. This is the worst of the sins. Inna shirka la zulmun azim. So Allah says, Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi. This sin people commit shirk. La yaghfiru an yushraka bihi. Allah would not forgive on the day of Qiyamah. If people come on the day of Qiyamah carrying shirk on their heads, Allah will never forgive it. La yaghfiru an yushraka bihi. On the day of Qiyamah, if a person dies upon shirk, Allah will never forgive it. Wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. Other than shirk, you don't have kufr, you don't have shirk in your luggage on the day of Qiyamah. You are a person of Iman. You're a person of Tawheed. But you have problems. Yaghfiru ma duna dhalik. Don't forget, one of the seven things we have discussed in the Muqaddimah of this book is what? Inna Rabbaka wasi'ul maghfira. Allah is vast in His forgiving. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was why he says, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ إِفْتَرَى إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا. Elsewhere he says, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. So committing shirk is something that every one of us must abstain from. In touch tenibu kabair ma tunhaw. If you abstain from the kabair amongst the things that Allah has prohibited, the first of them is what? Ash-shirk. Nukaffir ankum sayyatikum. So if you avoid shirk, one of the gains you get is that those other smaller ones Allah will forgive you. وَنُدْخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا. Allah will put you into Al-Jannah. That was why he said, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ. Anyone who goes on joining partners with Allah, Al-Jannah is prohibited for him. Meaning that shirk is from Kabair. Because it has told us that in tajtanibu Kabair, if you avoid Kabair, I'll give you Al-Jannah. If he says, shirk will make you become prohibited for Al-Jannah, what does it mean? Shirk is from Kabair. So if you drop shirk, you get Al-Jannah. If you drop shirk, you get Al-Jannah. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiyallahu anhuma said, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man mata la yushrik billahi shay'a. Anyone who dies not joining partners in any way with Allah, wajabat lahu al-Jannah. Allah will put him in Al-Jannah. Wajabat lahu. One major sure thing he will gain is what? Al-Jannah. So, ikhwa, anyone who wants to enter Al-Jannah, please run away from shirk. And shirk has various forms that we discussed while we were discussing this book in the class. Various forms. One of it is that people call upon their dead parents to help them. Say, ya, daddy, ya, this, oh, my father. Amongst the Shia, it is common with them. They start calling Hussein, ya Hussein. Amongst the tariqahs, they call ya Shiu. They call invoke Shiu. This shirk is shirk. It leads the person to Jahannam forever if he dies upon it. This is the worst amongst the Kabair. After that, we came to Al Kabira to Thania, Qatlu Nafsi, the second amongst the Kaba'ir that we looked at, was taking the life of a person, subhanAllah. Allah has created life. He warned us, وَلَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. لَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ. Don't take the people's lives. الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ. That Allah holds in high esteem and respect. Allah created the life. Yet it made it a thing of respect and esteem. So one created thing comes and he violates this thing that Allah holds in esteem. So you can see the audacity. So Allah said, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا. Anyone who deliberately kills a Muslim, a person of Iman, فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمْ. The recompense for what he has done is that he will be in Jahannam. Because he will be in Jahannam, we quickly understand that, if it is not that it is Kabair, Kabira min al-Kabair, he will not be in Jahannam. Why? Kaba'ir are those things that will, if we avoid it, will gain al-Jannah. So if he says anybody who does so something will be in fire, it means that thing is from Kaba'ir. Because Kaba'ir are those things we need to avoid to be in al-Jannah. So if you want to enter al-Jannah, never let it be that a person's soul comes out from your hand. Ikhwa, don't respond it. You want to enter al-Jannah? Make sure that nobody's life goes out from your hand. Ikhwa. Whether seriously or jokingly, don't ever, whether mistakenly or knowingly, make sure it never happens on your hand. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يزال المرء في فسحة من دينه. An individual continues to be upon vast enjoyment and ease in his religion. ما لم يتندى بدم حرام. As long as he has not been soaked up with blood that is haram. When blood that is haram has not been soaked you, you don't have. لا يزال المرء في فسحة. An individual continues to be in فسحة, in سعه, in vastness, in enjoyment, no problem. ما لم يتندى بدم حرام. As long as you have not become soaked up with another person's blood. You are driving a car, you hit somebody, you take it, the man dies. You are flogging a child. I have seen it before in a madrasa. A teacher was flogging a child, the boy fell down and died. It became a problem. So Al-Kabira to Thaniya is Qatlu Nafs. Ikhwa, make sure it does never happen from your hand. From that is that some parents deliberately abort their children. A man has intercourse with his wife and she becomes pregnant. By the time you know it, she goes to abort the pregnancy. It is from the aspects of Qatlu Nafs. Or you're a medical doctor treating somebody, you become nonchalant and the person dies in your hand. And things like this, we have discussed all of these. Those kinds of killing that are deliberate, those that are not deliberate. And we have discussed the repercussions. May Allah protect us from them. Qatlu Nafs, it was the second Kabira and Al-Kabair that we discussed. After that, we came to one evil, big evil, and that is charms, spells, witchcraft, or witchery, sorcery, that in our religion we refer to as what? As sihr. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, Al-Imam al-Zahabi, rahimahullah, he counts it as al-kabira to thalitha, the third grievous major sin. What is that? As sihr. A sin that when you learn sihr, it is kufr. When you teach sihr, it is kufr. When the individual practices sihr, it is kufr. Look at this. It's so serious. Sihr. So an entire verse comes regarding that in Surah Al-Baqarah. وَاتَّبِعُوا مَا تَتْلُ الشَّيَاطِينَ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانِ وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانِ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرَ. Like that. كَفَرُوا, they became disbelievers. Why? They were teaching people sihr. So teaching people sihr, تَعْلِيمُ السِّحْرِ كُفُرُ, تَعَلُّمُ السِّحْرِ كُفُرُ. وما يعلمان من أحد حتى يقولا إنما نحن فتنة فلا تكفر. يعني بتعلمكم السحر. If you learn سحر is كفر. If you teach سحر is كفر. If you practice سحر is كفر. سحر. سحر. That is making a man become what he is not. Making a woman become what she is not. Making a man become madly in love with a woman. He doesn't. Maybe he knows her, maybe he doesn't. Women employ it regarding their husband. That one, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he referred to it as atiwala. The Prophet said, watiwala shirkun. When he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, arruqa watama'imu watiwala tu shirk. Arruqa, saying incantations with expressions that contradict the Sharia, or with expressions that are not found in the Quran and the Sunnah. And they contradict our religion. It is called a ruqa. What tama'in? Tying things, talismans on your body. Maybe you write Ayatul Kursi, you write something, you write, they write the name of a jinn, they tie it on your body. What tiwala? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spoke about a tiwala. He said, alayhi salatu wa sallam, huwa alladhi yuhayyiju rijal. The sihr that a woman does to her husband, he makes him become uncomfortable. The man begins to act like a madman in love for his wife. Many women do it. Many women do it. They put their husbands under sihr so that they can manipulate and control him. It is kufur. It takes a person out of Islam. It is from the ways of Jahannam. Any person who wants to enter Jannah must never be involved in a sihr. So we counted it as Al-Kabira to Thalitha. The next one we read after that, because of time, Ikhwa, this is the class of revision, was Al-Kabira to Rabi'a, Tarkus Salat, abandoning Salat. In many places in the Quran, Allah commanded us, Akimu Salat wa Atu Zakah. Ikhwa, do you know this verse occurs 27 times in the Quran? In 27 places, Allah connected Salat and Zakah. Akimu salawatu zakah. 27. Akimu salawatu zakah. Akimu salawatu zakah. Observe salah, pay zakah. Observe salah, pay zakah. Elsewhere, he said, hafizu ala salawat. Ah, preserve. Protect your salatu. Was salatul wusta. He specifically mentioned salatul asr. Likewise, Abdullah ibn Umar told us that this our deen is based on shahadati Allah ilaha illallah. Buni al Islam wa la khamsin. Shahadati Allah ilaha illallah. Wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Wa iqam is salati wa ita is zakah. Iqam is salah, establishing the salah. So when Allah makes the salah so important as from the pillars of the. What right has anyone to abandon that salah? What right? Allah says, Akimu salah, Akimu salah, Akimu salah. Wa Akimu salata, wa atu zakata, wa akridu Allah qardan hasana, wa ma tuqaddimu. In all of this, in many places in the Quran, Akimu salah, Akimu salah, Akimu salah. And when Allah gave the salah to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he invited him to the heaven in Al-Mi'raj, as important as the salah. So you have a got to abandon salah. Allah told us subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Woe be upon some people. They observe salah. But how do they observe it? أَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. They are nonchalant about it. They observe the salah anytime they like. So at the time of Maghrib, that is when they observe Zuhur. At the time of Isha, they combine the entirety of the Salat of the day. They observe Salatul Fajr at 7:30 a.m. Just as they like, when they like, how they like. Allah says, Wailun lahum. Woe be upon them. How about the one who abandons the Salat completely? Wailun lil musallim. Alladhina hum an salatihim sahun. The one who is nonchalant. He delays one Salat up to the time of another Salat. He delays Fajr up to the time of Zuhur. Sometimes Fajr up to the time of Isha. Sometimes Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, and Isha together in the middle of the night. Sahun. They are nonchalant. They sow laxity regarding the observing salah. And then when they observe the salah, it is Allah, 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 Allah. No proper observance for the salah. He said, wailun lim, woe be upon them. How about those ones who abandon the salah completely? Alladhina hum yura'un. These people, even those ones that they observe out of laxity, yura'un. They only want people to see them that, oh, we too, we are Muslims. That's all. Otherwise, they are not interested in actually properly observing that salah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes us understand the importance of salah. He said, Bayna al-abdi wa bayna al-shirki tarku salah. The fence between a person's becoming a non-Muslim and being upon Islam is what? Salat. Salat, ikhwa, salat. Salat at its time. Salat properly, ikhwa. Salat at its time. Salat properly, ikhwa. Salat, Allah count us from those who observe salah properly and who observe salah at its time. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَةِ. The first of what the individual will be called to account about on the day of Qiyamah is what? الصَّلَاةُ 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 إِخْوَةُ الصَّلَاةُ Salat. Not just observing the Salah, but observing the Salah correctly. Why? أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنْ عَمَلِهِ صَلَاتُهُ صَلَاتُهُ his salah, ikhwa. May Allah make us from the people of Salat. That was Al-Kabiratu Ar-Rabi'a, the fourth amongst the Kabair. The fifth amongst the Kabair, we should start bi-idhnillah our next class with, is Man'u Zaka, a person preventing Zakah. Not observing zakat. Zakat is compulsory on us. Just like he was saying, akimu salah, akimu salah. What was he following it with? Wa'atu zakat, wa'atu zakat. When he said, buni al-islam wa la khamsin, shahadati Allah ilaha illallah, wa iqami salah. What did he follow it with? Wa'ita is zakat. So zakat comes after salah. He said, umirtu an uqatila nas hatta yashhadu Allah ilaha illallah wa anna muhammadan rasulullah. Who? What did he say after that? They must observe salah. And after that, what did he say? They must observe zakah and pay zakah. He said, فَإِذَا فَعْلُوا ذَلِكَ عَصَمُوا مِنِّي دِمَاءَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ إِلَّا بِحَكِّ الْإِسْلَامِ. If they observe salah and pay zakah, they don't have problem. عَصَمُوا مِنِّي دِمَاءَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ إِلَّا بِحَكِّ الْإِسْلَامِ. They have preserved their blood and their wealth from me. إِلَّا بِحَكِّ الْإِسْلَامِ. Except by the rights of Islam. وَحِسَابُهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. So these narrations talk about the importance of zakah. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, our next classes on Al-Kabair will talk about Al-Kabiratu Al-Khamisa. The fifth amongst the Kabair. What is that? Man'u Zakah. Bi'idhnillah, we'll be looking at Man'u Zakah in our next class, bi'idhnillah. Preventing the pain of Zakah. We remember the battle of Abu Bakr and Siddiq with Man'u Zakah. Those who refused to pay Zakah during his time. Abu Bakr and Siddiq went to a war with them. Some of them were still upon Islam. All they needed was to be compelled to pay. And some of them were already upon kufur. They had already declared disbelief in Allah and rejection for zakah. Some of these will be the two groups of people we'll find amongst the Muslims today. Those who prevent zakah out of laziness, they need to be compelled. They need to be reminded. And those who say, oh, we will not pay. We have an army. If you prevent us, we insist not to pay. The government of Islam needs to hold them responsible and insist that they pay. So if they don't reject the obligation of zakah, they are still Muslims, even though they will be compelled to pay the zakah. Maybe it happens that they are rejecting that Zakah is compulsory at all on them, then these are from the people of Kufr. They will be fought like Abu Bakr Siddiq fought against those two groups of people. Bismillah, we come in greater details about this. I'm sure some of the people may not be thinking that Zakah is so important, so much that not paying Zakah would come from amongst the Kabai. Bismillah, we'll discuss these issues in the next class about the Rahman.
Salawat alaikum ya shukran. Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me, sir? Can you hear me, sir?